Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Planet Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Mr. Marius Ruart. Let's get into our first news story of today. And this is the president comments on the rejection of BHP's attempt to buy Anglo American. So an Australian firm called BHP was attempting to buy the South African mining giant Anglo America, except without its South African assets. The presidency has reacted with some concern to this, saying that no, this doesn't mean that South Africa is hostile to investors at all. The proposed merger would have required the unbundling of Anglo Platinum and Kumba Iron Ore as a condition, which has led many to believe that overseas South African assets, particularly in mining, are seen as fairly toxic, and that's exactly why this foreign company did not want to buy them. Now, Anglo's board did reject the offer, saying that they can still make significant value here, they think. But it's interesting to see what the presidency said. A spokesperson for the presidency said that there was no hostile investor environment in South Africa. And as evidence of this, there was the joint initiative by the presidency and business lobby groups to resolve South Africa's pressing issues. He went on to say, this partnership should reassure both local and foreign investors that considerable resources and expertise are being leveraged in government and in the private sector to curtail crime, continue improving the functionality of our ports, and enable an investor and societal environment that fosters inclusive economic growth and prosperity. The presidency would like to implore the investor community to note the optimism expressed by the business community in various publications and platforms on the progress achieved across the three focal areas. This should reassure investors that momentum is building and will be maintained to reduce crime and corruption, continue improving energy supply, and resolving logistic backlogs. Marius, it is full-on damage control from the government here. It's clear that this is yet another sign that South Africa's economic policy framework is just terrible if you want to actually make any money or develop your business.
Yeah, I mean, Vincent, I think it's Vincent, but Mr. Ngwenya, I can say as much as he wants about, you know, how many op-eds are being written or, you know, sunshine stories. But money is like water, and it flows through the path of least resistance. And there is resistance to getting into South Africa and growing in South Africa. I mean, even apart from bad policies, things such as you know, BE or the kind of labor regulations we have, the other issues such as infrastructure. One of the biggest concerns for mines, especially, is the issues around electricity and Transnet and so on, trying to just getting your goods to where they need to be. So this shouldn't surprise anybody that this merger will see BHP Billiton not buying South African assets of Anglo. But we can also see this happening in with our neighbor Namibia. There have been quite a few big oil finds off the coast of Namibia, and it's likely this oil field extends into South Africa too. As far as I know, they haven't really found anything off the coast of South Africa, but there probably will be. It would be quite unlikely for the oil finds to stop at the Namibian-South African border, but it could be God cursing us, who knows. But the Namibians, there's been a lot of investment already going in there, because the Namibians, the legislation they've passed around these oil finds is a lot different from what's been proposed in South Africa. Of course, in Namibia, there's still, I think the tax is fairly high that companies will have to pay, but there's no real free carry. They don't really have any kind of these BE requirements. Not that BE isn't a thing in Namibia, but in the last couple of years, they seem to have become a bit more sensible around policies around BE. And yeah, Namibia's economy is starting to grow quite rapidly, and this could be quite a big windfall for it. And South Africa is going to miss out on this. And South Africa still has quite big mineral resources, but companies simply aren't coming here for all these kinds of reasons. And here we go. Here's another example. If South Africa was a place where companies could make money and knew their assets were going to be safe, they'd be coming here. There are reasons to invest here because of our natural resources and so on. But these policies and the infrastructure issues, any normal company would look where they can make money, and South Africa is simply a place where they can't. And that has all kinds of other than knock-on effects for government revenue, and let's not forget people's jobs.
Exactly. You know, we're sitting with almost half the working population unable to find a job right now, and mining can often provide a lot of work that you don't necessarily need to get the top marks for, that you can learn on the job. There are also some places for, you know, high-skilled engineers and stuff like that, which South Africa has traditionally been pretty good at producing. So the consequences of this are very much falling on the poor. This is not just a matter for the rich and the powerful. This is very much something that hurts the lives of ordinary people who once again have to go on living their lives with very little hope of ever turning around their circumstances because of our economic conditions. Okay, let's move on to a political party which I don't think have seen in the news for the past couple of months, ever since it was formed. And this is the party called Shiluva, which was started by former DA Midvaal Mayor Bongani Baloyi, who left the party after a falling out with some of its leaders. He then joined Action SA, and he had a falling out with some of their leaders, and so went on to form his own party called Shiluva. Despite some social media presence, I've heard very little about this party, and they don't appear to have registered in any polls, and maybe we can talk a little bit more broadly about where the polling seems to be at the moment as we head towards the election. But Shiluva has announced that it is joining Zuma's MK party, specifically calling for the constitution to be replaced by parliamentary sovereignty, or supremacy, rather. I will say that the detractors of Baloyi in the DA probably are going to take a bit of a victory lap at this one, because this is, shall we say, not in accordance with their values of how the country should be run. But I think, Marius, this is just a sign that, you know, that party was never really going to go anywhere. Now that it's joining MK, it's very much seems like a bandwagon type of thing right now.
And you also got to ask yourself what Bongani Baloyi was doing in the DA in the first place then. But, I mean, this call for parliamentary supremacy is such a bad idea. I mean, in apartheid South Africa, there was actually parliamentary supremacy. And actually, if my high school history serves me well, I think it was in the 1950s where parliament was made the highest court in the land, effectively, above the Supreme Court of Appeal. So laws made by parliament could not be appealed. So, you know, there was no constitution to protect people or people's human rights and so on. And this is exactly what the MK party now, Shiluva, are calling for. It's actually a joke. And yeah, it's, you know, South Africa's got quite a few problems, and the constitution isn't perfect. But I think having the constitution be above parliament and the people who make laws, and often we get quite bad laws coming out of parliament, is quite a good thing and something we should be proud of. And yeah, I'm actually a bit lost for words. Shiluva, it's unlikely to really do much in these elections. I'd be actually pretty surprised if it makes it to parliament. It might, but at most we'll get a seat or two. But just with polls at the moment, it does look like the ANC kind of squeezes on. The daily tracking poll that from the Social Research Foundation seems to show that the ANC is starting to track up slightly. The DA is kind of holding steady at about 25% or so. MK and EFF also now seem to be stuck in a band. MK from about 12 to 15, EFF maybe 6 to 10%. So yeah, it's still a long way to go, and a lot can still happen. And I for one wouldn't be surprised if the ANC is above 50% or falls just under 50%. So that still can be counted out. But yeah, still a long way to go, and I think things are still pretty fluid.
Yeah, I saw a figure in a headline. I haven't read the story, I'm afraid, of the significant percentage of South African voters. I think it's over a third, so they still don't know who exactly they're going to vote for. I suspect many of those voters just actually won't vote in the end. But we are now, I believe, less than a month to go until the election on the 29th of May. So here's a reminder to go and sign up on pledgetovote.co.za to pledge to vote. These are important elections. They are going to be very determinative of the next, at least I would say, 2 decades in South Africa. And their results will have many consequences for you and your descendants. So do make sure you go and register.
I think the election is an 8-night away, because a fortnight is 2 weeks. So a fortnight times two, 4 times 2 gives you 8. Right. So it's an 8-night a week. Tomorrow will be 4 weeks. So
Exactly. Okay, let us move on to our last story. And this is kind of a weird one, but it sort of caught my eye. The KZN branch of Action SA has tabled a motion at the eThekwini Metro's next council meeting. They say they want to pay tribute to Mangosuthu Buthelezi, the former leader of the IFP and long-running traditional prime minister of the Zulu Kingdom. They want to rename eThekwini Municipality after Mangosuthu Buthelezi. And this motion is going to be debated at the next meeting. So I sort of have slightly complicated feelings about this. On one hand, I think Buthelezi was an important and interesting figure in South Africa, and I think he did some very important and good things. I also think he did some pretty bad things too, but there are a few historical figures who are not those things. But I will say that by my own personal rule, I really hate naming things after people who are still alive. And even if people have recently passed away, I usually think that it's best to let sort of time and place and history breathe a little bit and see how things go before you name something after someone, rather than jumping to it. I think that usually ends up being a bit silly at the time. But Marius, you know, this is such an election gimmick. I don't think I've ever seen anything so transparently an election gimmick.
No, exactly. I think Action SA is probably also panicking a little bit. It's showing up in the polls, but not really doing too much. And it didn't do too badly in the three municipalities in KZN and Clarendon in 2021. I think it's got about 1% of the vote or so in Etegwini. So I think this is definitely just an election gimmick. And you also got to ask yourself about renaming places. I understand renaming names that are offensive or named after people like Hendrik Verwoerd or whatever the case is. But Etegwini itself is quite an inoffensive name. It's a name now we've had since became a metro in 2000, whatever the case is. And I see no reason to rename it and all the costs that go with it. It's if you want to name something after Buthelezi, as you say, you know, give history a bit of time to breathe, so to speak. And maybe if, you know, build something impressive, you can name it after Buthelezi. If, I don't know, Durban builds a new bridge or something. But also, that all said, I mean, I've been to Durban now for a couple of years, but by all accounts, it's not really a place that you'd want to be associated with at the moment. And with the current way the ANC-EFF coalition, we can call it, is running the place into the ground. So I don't know if Mangosuthu Buthelezi would want to be associated with Etegwini at the moment. But yeah, I mean, as you said, it's such a transparent election gimmick. And it will be interesting to see what the IFP says about this, if they would support Action SA in this, or if they say, well, what are you guys doing? Let's do something else.
Yeah, I can very much see the IFP either sort of this being their idea and them encouraging Action SA to do it, or alternatively them saying, hey, that's our job. You're not allowed to praise Buthelezi unless we're involved. Anyway, just an odd little story that shows we are definitely deep into election fever. But that's all the time we have for today. I hope that you found the show interesting. I hope you all are, with any luck, not having to work tomorrow, because tomorrow is Workers' Day. And we shall be back on Thursday. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.